Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All righty. Good to be here. And get a little nervous, and I'm glad that Tammy sang that song for me. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. It's too much for me. I'm just a country preacher out there in Preston, Missouri, and you can hardly find that on the map. But that's okay. I'm glad to be here. I looked at the bulletin. I saw Tammy Van Dyne singing. Who's that, you know? And the sad part about it is I went to the wedding, you know? Pretty sad. But anyhow, we'll be looking into the book of Revelation, and I'll probably get it by this evening. You know, I'll figure it out by this evening, maybe. But we've been looking at the book of Revelation in our church, and this one really struck me, this about where we're at in Revelation chapter 19. You know, we think about great events in history and the creation, and then, of course, the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, and then the, of course, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. And we're looking for the rapture. And but, you know, sometimes overlooked is the second advent. So we'll just call this when Jesus comes to reign. I'm kind of looking forward to that, aren't you? When Jesus comes to reign. All right, let's pray. Let's go ahead and read first. Okay, let's stand for the reading of God's word. I know you're nervous, but you'll get over it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Revelation 19:11. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for, by grace, we got out of bed this morning, because it's of your mercies we could be consumed. But God, we come here today to praise your wonderful name. In this place, Lord, that's been set aside for worship, this church of the living God that you blessed with a good spirit here this morning, and we just pray that you will be a blessing to them through your word. Lord, I need your help. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your spirit today. Just use me to proclaim this wonderful truth that this day's coming. They make fun of this, Lord, and that you're coming back. But Lord, they're going to see that you're coming. And I just pray that you'll just open this to our understanding today and just help us to realize that our time is short and that there's many that are without Christ. And Lord, there may be some like that here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior. And they're not ready for this day. Lord, I just pray you'll just grip their hearts and show them their need of salvation from sin and a new life in you. And Lord, we just thank you in advance for your victory through your blood, and that you're here today, Lord, and this right here with us. as two or three or more are gathered together, and that you said you'd bless your word, and that it would make a difference, Lord. So just we thank you for an advance for victory through your blood, that you hold back the forces of Satan that would distract us, and we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this many scriptures in the Bible refer to prophecy. It's been said like up to 30 to 40% of the scriptures are prophetic. And, you know, a lot of it is about the millennial period. And there's a great portion of this book of Revelation that's about the tribulation period. So you folks are well educated on eschatological things, the end time things, but you know, it's good to be reminded about these things that will shortly come to pass. You know, there's a special blessing in studying this great book of Revelation. I mean, the whole Bible, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable and helpful. But it says, blessed are those that read, blessed are those that hear, blessed are those that keep the words of here. In other words, they apply it to their lives. So this is not just about Bible trivia today and just learn a little bit more information, but it's about letting God speak to our hearts, letting God draw us to him if you're unsaved, and or if you're saved, letting God stir your hearts to the reality of these things, and that it won't be long before we actually see God, whether it's in death or whether it's in the rapture first. And we're going to be, those that are saved will be present on that day when Jesus comes to reign. Amen. Wow, what's an exciting thing to look forward to. The Bible's talked about this. I'll just mention a few of these verses. In Psalm chapter 2, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And I'll read a little bit of this. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in religion, in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, there's going to be a ridiculous thought in their minds that they can pull together and they can go against Israel. By the way, we see in the last days such a terrible animosity toward the Jews. There's just a very small percentage of our population in the United States, but yet a majority of hate crimes are directed toward them, and it's growing. And it's bizarre because Israel, as you know, has already been invaded recently, and some of them tortured, and just terrible atrocities. But then when they stick up for themselves, the media, many others, are very weak toward Israel, and some actually hateful toward Israel. Some even hold offices in government, and they're bold enough to make up lies and things about that. And I know they're not perfect now, and Israel's not, as a whole, they're not come to Christ yet. But God has special promises toward this land of Israel. And God promised them it'll be a bigger land someday. It's the existence of Israel in 2024 is a miracle of God. They're surrounded by tens of millions of people, much larger nations, and you could go along the northern coast of Africa and include them and other Muslim nations that by their teachings of their false religion, they hate them, and Iran especially, of course, has threatened to wipe them off the planet. And here's been people in our own country getting up and saying, about killing them and getting them out of the way. But, you know, this is what part of the last days is. It is, as a brother said in Sunday school, the spirit of Antichrist. You got the animosity. Men will be wicked and angry. by a lot of things, and they're going to be specially directed toward Israel. And you know, we know that with Adolf Hitler, as our brother talked about Antichrist, with a small a, there's been many Antichrists, and Hitler was one of them. And of course, Herod was one. There's others in the Old Testament. There's false teachers that are typical of Antichrist today. But anyhow, this spirit of Antichrist grows. Even though we have more in general, as far as comforts of life and wealth and things like that in general than our forefathers did, I believe this is a tough time to live, in a way, a stressful time, because that spirit of Antichrist is going stronger and stronger. And I talked to our brothers, the Sunday school teacher, that about even online. There's so many things to draw you away from God and religious and get you against what the Bible teaches and try to water it down and be real careful about that. Getting just listening to anybody online, especially you young Christians that aren't grounded in the faith, because it's easy to get off track. Isaiah 34:2 says, "He hath gathered them to the slaughter." It's going to be a day of slaughter. And, you know, this is a big mess. So I'm pretty bad about making messes. We're getting ready. And Teresa has to lay my clothes out for me. You know, she didn't come with me yet, but she's come tonight, you know. Afraid I'm going to embarrass her publicly. Well, that's understandable, you know. So she lays it out for me. And I actually got the right coat and pants this time. Did pretty good. Tell her about it later. But anyway, so I get in here, and he starts teaching the lesson, and I guess I was a little nervous, picked at this little scab on my hand in the corner here, and starts bleeding. Great, you know, keeps bleeding, and gets in my suit. So I sneak out. Don't tell anybody about it. Secret, okay? But anyway, we fail in many ways, and we don't do too well, but God, he always does well, and he takes care of us. But anyway, all these people are going to be confused, and they're going to gather toward the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. I read somewhere before that it's going to be a great series of battles. I don't believe that. Amen. I believe, and I thought this, man, I'm going to be, you know, it takes me a while, like I said, to catch on to things, and I thought I'm going to be in that number. You know, I've even ridden a horse before. It's amazing. But about 10 years ago, we had teenagers that had a horse, and they actually let me ride. One was real tame, and they let me ride the horse. And I said, well, as long as it goes slow, I'm fine with me. And you're up there, and it gets kind of scary. And the crazy thing was getting towards home. And it was she didn't tell me it was feeding time. And the thing starts galloping. So I told it to slow down. It didn't listen to me. But anyway, I don't think I'll have any trouble with horses. One of those days, when that day happens. And I'll be riding the white horse with the rest of them. So will you, if you know the Lord. Amen. But we'll gather, he says in the book of Joel, how these things will come to pass in the last days. It says, I will also gather all nations, will bring them down the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, have parted my land, and have cast lots for my people, have given a boy for a harlot, and have sold a girl for wine that they might drink. And then later on in the chapter, it tells us a little bit more about this. Verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Well, the truth of the matter is, the Lord won't need any of my help. I thought, man, I'm saved. I'm going to be in that number. I'm going to help fight against those people. But he's going to destroy them by the word of his mouth. Amen. Wow. He that created the earth, some people say, well, I don't think creation is really six literal days. It's six ages. Well, the truth of the matter is, God could have created the earth in an instant if he wanted to. But he decided to stretch it out a little bit and did it in 6 days, six literal days. Morning and night were the first day. And God can take care of any. We tend misinform others about the power of God and have too small a concept of God and God's heart and God's power and God's ability and in every area. It's so infinitely above us. No wonder the holy angels, I thought, why are they crying, holy, holy, holy? They don't sin themselves. Well, God is so distinct from the holiest angel and from the most powerful angel. He's distinct in his power, and he's distinct in his wisdom, and he's distinct in his presence, that he can be everywhere at the same time. So we say, God, you're different. Holy, not only are you pure, but you're so different than us. And by the way, and I know they teach it here, God wants you to be different. He wants us to be different. And we're called to be different. So all these nations gather against Israel for the big battle of Armageddon. In a way, we see the tensions rising. And another time, Russia's going to come down, we believe. Ezekiel 37, and going to invade Israel. And you know, we can see how that would fit into current events with Russia being as aggressive as they are. Jerusalem, Zechariah 12:2, a cup of trembling. And then it talks about in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, as we get building up toward this time in our message today. It says in verse 16, verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Israel's not a small river, and it's very wide, kind of like the Mississippi River. Can you imagine, and many of you, like me, gone over the Mississippi or the Missouri River many times. Can you imagine a big river like that drying up? And, you know, it's been even a barrier in wars where the soldiers have to go around that area to fight. It won't be like that in this day. There are symbols in the book of Revelation, but when things are clearly literal like this, I believe they're going to happen literally like God says will happen. And God that opened up the Red Sea, and they walked along in dry shod through the sea, the same God is able to do this and to dry up all the rivers in the world if he wanted to. So he's going to do that, and armies from China, India, they're going to be headed toward Israel, and they're going to take care of things, I think. Notice what it says in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet. See, there's an unholy trinity that is at work during that tribulation period. The word Satan is the opposite of God in every way, and the false prophet. And he's like the antithesis of the Holy Spirit. He draws, instead of encouraging people to worship God, Jesus, and himself, like the Holy Spirit, he encouraged people to worship the beast, which is the person, the human being, that is demon-possessed, the second person of the unholy Trinity, that is going to be against everything about God, and he will portray himself to be his God. No doubt, as was alluded to before, that in Sunday school, that he will be very charismatic, he'll be a good speaker, he'll be very influential, and there's going to be a mess on earth from that time anyway. Millions of Christians will be missing suddenly. I got a theory on this, but this is not 100%. But what if it happened during the middle of the night, the Antichrist in North America, where most of the saved people in the world are, and especially the United States, even though we're far from God. If it happened during the middle of the night, they'd make up something, why people are missing. There'd be chaos, and when they get strong deception, of course, then they don't think straight, and it's going to cause panic, it's going to cause trouble everywhere. And then this smooth talker, and he comes in with the white horse at first, and he comes in bringing peace, and let's all get together. And we see that in the ecumenical movement today, which didn't start today, by the way. Let's all come together. We headed up our way, where they all wanted me to come to the Ministerial Alliance. And even the Catholic priest was coming. Well, I'm not going. We don't believe. Many of them were taught a false way of salvation, even if it was for one event that they were going to do. We cannot hold hands with them. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Touch not the unclean thing. But, oh, you know, if we get together with everyone that calls the name of Christ, we'd be getting together with some of the Mormons and others. Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, and many other cults. But anyhow, it's not surprising, Satan's sneaky, that he wouldn't just put the name Devil's Church on every church, but he'd actually take the name of our dear Lord and put it on these false religions of this world. Corrupt religion, including, of course, Roman Catholicism. I believe they'll have a great part in chapter 17, the great whore, the false religion of that time. Bible talks about the seven mountains and there's seven hills in Rome, and more blood has come out of Rome over the years, more Christians killed, even some of our Baptist forefathers killed by either the Rome or the Protestants, even some that came out of Rome. And there's always been churches that were separate from Rome. So these that say in the Protestant churches are okay, we need to come out separate from them. Baptists aren't Protestants, you know that. But anyway, the great whore is going to be judged, chapter 17. The great political Babylon's going to be judged in chapter 18. I believe it could be, and again, this is a theory, it could be New York City, the United States. Here's why. Babylon's not been rebuilt. It's a city of many waters. It's surrounded by water. It is, if you look it up on the internet, what is the center of world commerce? Not even using the term world trade. Of course, the World Trade Building gets up. But if you look up the center of world commerce, it'll say New York City. Just think, after we're gone, if it happens this year, and whenever it happens in our lifetime, if it happens then, just think how corrupt America is going to be. But still, you've got Wall Street, you've got all these people weeping, because in one day, it's going to all break loose, it's going to all fall flat, and even people that hate us, they're going to be weeping. And again, I can't prove that from the Bible, so you don't have to believe that, but that's just my personal opinion on that one. But we'll move quickly on that. But this, God's going to take care of religious Babylon. He's going to take care of political Babylon. But now all you got is a beast that takes over at the end, and his other members of the unholy Trinity, Satan, and the false prophet, and they're going to send these three strong demons out, and these people are going to be all angry, and they're going to be, in a way, probably excited. And they've already been through the plagues of Revelation, and they're angry at God. I don't believe there'll be any atheists in that day, because God's going to speak to them directly out of heaven. They're going to know that there's God. But for most people, it's going to be too late. They're going to believe a lot. Once they've taken the mark of the beast, the Bible makes it pretty clear, it's too late for them. And they're going to be, instead of praying to God, they'll pray to the rocks. And that's rebellious man's nature, shaking their fist against God. And they imagine a vain thing, and God will laugh. He'll have them in derision. You know, and say, they're going to beat me. They're going to defeat me. And they're powerless against God. And all of mankind, if it was all of mankind, or all the forces of hell, it's nothing to God. He's so superior in all of his power. God doesn't ever barely win. He didn't barely win on the cross. Amen. The Bible said he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All the principalities and all the powers, it's too much for us, my friends. Someone says, I'm going to go yell at the devil and I'm going to fight the devil. But no, he's too strong for me personally. But greater is he that's in me and you, if you're saved, than he that's in the world. Amen. And we are overcomers through Christ that loved us. So we see in this setting, all these people from all over the world, they're converging and they're going to defeat Christ, they think. and they're going to defeat Israel, and they're going to gather together in that great area in Israel called the Valley of Armageddon, and it'll be over quickly. Heaven will be opened, 1911, and God's going to intervene in human history. There's a visitation that's talked about in the Bible several places. When God visited some of the saints of old, like Abraham, sometimes it can be a good thing as far as a blessing. Sometimes it can be a judgment of God. This time, God's going to judge those that have been killing the saints during the tribulation period. Many, no doubt millions, will lose their lives. And for those that shook their fist against him and rejected him, and the beast that blasphemed him, he's going to stand up to his enemies. He's not coming down as a lowly Nazarene. He's coming back in power. He's coming, the Bible pictures him as the Lamb of God, even in Revelation. Yes, he is the Lamb of God, will be throughout eternity. We'll worship the Lamb of God. But he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's coming back as a roaring lion here, coming to destroy his enemies. The Bible says this is the book of the Revelation, this last book of the Bible, not just of things to come, which it does tell that, but the revelation of Jesus Christ, to show him, to show that he is the first and the last. He is the one which is and which was and is to come. He's got it all under control. Amen. You say, well, I'm scared all this stuff is going to go on. Christians, we don't have to be scared, because God will take care of you. Right. Now, I don't know how much time I got left in this world. Some of you are just very young. But don't worry about it, folks. You just stay close to God. Amen. You stay faithful to your church. Amen. You stay growing in grace and knowledge of the God. You walk with God, and God will take care of you no matter what happens during this time period. But heaven's open. He's on a white horse. And this one is not a masquerader like the Antichrist that tries to come in like he's innocent. This is the perfect Son of God, the one, the righteous one, the one who's never sinned. And what's amazing to me, he didn't even sin on the cross. I would have sinned probably the first 2 seconds, but he didn't even sin on the cross. When all the hordes of hell were unleashed against him, and the demons of hell and demon-infested people like the Roman soldiers, not only blaspheming him, but also just beating his body and so forth. I believe if he hadn't prayed and interceded for them, said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They didn't realize fully that they're crucifying the Lord of glory, the creator of the universe. But our Lord didn't even sin on the cross. He's riding a white horse today. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. There's no guile in his mouth. Some like to say, well, I wonder why God doesn't do something different about this. Well, why don't we just leave it to God? God always does good. We just see a little part of the picture. And we may not understand everything that happens, but who can be God's counselor? Who can straighten out God? Job thought he could, and he was a good man. And God blessed him. But he said, basically, he wanted an audience with the Almighty, and to kind of plead his cause. And God comes to speak with him and says, where were you? And I'm paraphrasing, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Yeah, God doesn't, someone said, if God doesn't destroy us as a nation pretty soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God doesn't have to apologize to anybody. And God will take care of it in due time. And our nation, I believe, is doomed and condemned and damned. I hope most of it happens after we're gone, don't you? You know, I still love America, and I believe we can have revival in pockets, or maybe a big one. I hope. If there's a big revival right before the rapture, I don't want to be backslidden preacher. I want to be close to God and praying and witnessing and loving the Lord and helping folks come to Christ and so forth. I want to be right with God. So we can't limit God and what he could do, but we know, again, that God's not going to just overlook sin. But here, the white horse, he's faithful, he's true. That's why we still have the Word of God in the English language. We don't need to go hunting around for a bunch of different translations and correction. That's why that we can believe in what's the prophecy which hasn't been fulfilled yet. God's already fulfilled so much prophecy in the scripture that from the Old Testament times, many of the kingdoms before they even existed, God showed even Nebuchadnezzar in a dream that was interpreted by Daniel some of the kingdoms that would come, like the Persian Empire and the other empires that came up, like the Greek Empire and then the Roman Empire, and then the Roman Empire be revived and 10 nation confederacy. We don't know exactly how that'll happen, but you know, they talk about NATO nowadays and how there's power in Europe even, and if the United States is connected with that, which we are now, it's very easy to see how that could be a great power that the Antichrist will cooperate with for a while until he turns against him. So white horse, he's faithful, he's true. Our God never leads us astray. The world's trying to deceive us, and I believe Satan's greatest tool of the day is distraction, to get our eyes off of the Lord, get our eyes on ourselves. Men shall be lovers of their own self. And oh, God's got our best interests at heart. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth. He is the truth. The truth will set you free. I was talking to somebody, I think, in between services. We never lose anything when we get saved. Someone said, I gave up this and I gave up that. Oh, well, weren't you headed for hell when you got saved? Weren't you walking during the course of this world according to the prince and power of darkness? We don't give. We come to him with our sins, and he cleanses us from all our sins, and we've got eternal life. Then someone says, well, you know, I'm getting real dedicated to the Lord. I've really got to give up everything. And you don't give up anything. When God puts his finger on something that he doesn't want in your life, like intoxicating beverage, whatever it is, cursing, bad attitudes, whatever sin it is, you're not losing a thing. Amen. As God leads you into holiness and separation from the world, and leads you into victory. So God here, we're going to wrap this up pretty soon. He's faithful. He's true. It says his name is called the Word of God. John, the apostle of love, was also the one used under divine inspiration to write down John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the expression of God in human and divine form. And he's the perfect expression of God in different seasons in the Old Testament time. God spoke through many different ways, even dreams. Now you get somebody today said, I saw the other day, one of those online things, how the Bible will help you interpret your dreams. You got to watch out for stuff like that. We don't need another revelation from God. We've got the complete revelation. Yes, in the Old Testament, he used dreams sometimes. Could God use a dream today? I wouldn't say God couldn't do anything, but he doesn't normally work that way. He works through his Holy Spirit and through his Word that's been preserved and that guides us. But he is the Word of God, and Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we are the armies that in verse 14 that follow him. My sheep, they know me and they follow me, John 10 says. If you don't not following the Lord and consistently just do your own thing, maybe you ought to check up and make sure you're saved. You know, if there's no change there, I'm not talking, I know there's a Christian could get very backslidden, but from the time you made a profession of faith till now, if there's no change in your life, you know, the Bible said, make sure of your election. Make sure you know him. And make sure, I know, not because I'm so good, because I've done so well, in spite of myself, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that when the group of soldiers come down like us, his army, and we're riding white horses, he won't need our help, but we're coming down with him. And I don't have very good imagination, but I can see myself in that crowd, riding a horse, and not even scared of getting fallen off. But, you know, you'll be there too, my brother or sister, if you know the Lord. He's never lost any. Everyone. Someone said he lost Judas. Judas wasn't saved to begin with. But anyway, one of these days, We'll be in that number. When Jesus comes to reign, I'll be with him, and we'll be all happy with what he does. Even the destruction of the wicked, all the angels and all the saints of God are going to agree with what he's done. And this earth, we're not going to have a complaint box in heaven. We're not going to be disappointed with anything that God does. And he's going to set up that millennial kingdom. Again, we don't have time to get in all the scriptures. That's been prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Even some of the Jews would connect it with his birth. Isaiah 9:6 said, "Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Well, there's at least a couple thousand years between the son being given and the government being upon his shoulders. And many of them didn't want Jesus to rule in their hearts. They just wanted to escape the Roman tyranny. That's like people today. You know, if something goes wrong in their life, they blame God. And they may not even darken the church door or show any attempt to read the Bible or anything else. And something happens in their life, and why did God take them? Somebody can be completely out of control, and they lose their life. And they, instead of pointing, if it's a substance, if it's alcohol or something else, instead of pointing at that, they're going to point at God. That's the entitlement mentality of our world today. But our Lord, he is going to come back that day. And he is going to ride the white horses. We're going to be with him, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We'll go home to heaven to sin no more. And we'll be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Even now, our righteousness is not in ourselves, but it's in Christ. Amen. It's imputed. We're considered righteous. We're counted righteous. That's what justified is, that we are declared righteous through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here he comes. He is coming. He promised, he said he would come. And I believe these things are as literal as they sound, that he has something on his garments saying, "King of kings, Lord of lords, he's sovereign, our Father, which art in heaven. Our God is in the heaven. He's done what he pleased. He said he's coming back. He made everything. He gave us a new a chance to be saved. Jesus resurrected from the grave and came back forth from the grave. He started out as a king. He left his throne in heaven to come down to this sin-cursed earth for me and for you. And yet, so many don't receive him. They don't trust in him. My friend, you need to trust in that king today that left a perfect environment, and he came down to this earth. Isaiah 53 makes it clear he came down for you. He came down for me. He's not willing that any should perish. The problem with me is, and with you is, we're not good enough to inherit eternal life. We need to be rescued. And Jesus prepared that way. And he, the Gentile rule will be done with the last empire that's depicted in the statue in Daniel. And the stone, not made with hands, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to crush that statue. There'll no be no more corrupt government. But our perfect Savior, he is going to rule perfectly. And yet those that offspring of some of them that are saved that are going to the millennium, they're going to rebel against God. So under each age, God, man fails, but Jesus will never fail. Amen. So, and we'll just close with this. There's going to be a great supper that day. It won't be a church dinner either. It's going to be all these birds, and I see some of them down by the Pomme de Terre Dam, go down there and exercise sometimes, and see all these buzzards and even eagles sometimes. And God's going to have them all rounded up, these birds, millions of them. And there's going to be blood running through that valley for 200 miles, about the Bible says. And while that time, the blood's running there, and he's going to have on his vesture, by the way, dipped in blood. It's not going to be about his blood at the cross at this in this instance, but as a warrior, God the warrior, and taking vengeance on his enemies. And just like I said about the cross, it won't be a narrow victory. It's going to be a lopsided victory for our Lord Jesus Christ. And all these beasts are going to come and clean up the mess. And then he's going to reign throughout eternity. And we'll have a place in that kingdom. You know, that won't be boring either. The Bible talks about, Ephesians says, in the ages to come. It's not going to be just everything all the same. We're laying around the clouds. And what are we going to do today? Bored to death? No, God has programs throughout the ages that he's going to do. Some of those, they're a mystery. They're not revealed yet. But he says, the ages to come, he's going to be busy. And he's going to keep us busy. And we're going to be excited. We're not going to be hindered by sin anymore. And it'll be so wonderful in heaven. One of these days when God cleans up the mess. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. God is not only just God of love that many teach, which he is, but a God of judgment. We persuade men. Let's warn folks about it. God, we can say to anyone that we meet, Christ died for you. God wants you to be in heaven. Now, you may run across somebody too late for them. But you don't know who they are. So we should, some of the most sinful people have already been saved. The demoniac, who'd think of him as a salvation prospect? People didn't even want to get near him. But our Lord knew in advance he'd get saved, and God was led to by his perfect leading of the Holy Spirit, which he always followed, to deal with that man. That man was saved. And he said, go home and don't tell anybody about it. No, he didn't say that. He said, go tell your friends. Go tell your friends. And God, it's a multiplying effect. When we share this glorious gospel, we share Christ, who is the answer, who shall zap us out of here one of these days, who shall, about 7 years later, come back with us. First time, it's kind of a secret thing. He's going to come as a thief in the night, the coming in the air. But then 7 years later, approximately, he comes back with us, and then every eye shall see him, and the mountain's going to split, Mountain of Olives, Zechariah says, and a quick battle, I believe, destroy him by the word of his mouth, and then real quickly set up his millennial kingdom. Amen. We'll reign with him. Wow, what something to look forward to. Sorrow and sighing, like the song says, will fade away when Jesus comes to reign. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these who have come out this morning. And Lord, we just touched on some things and in our own awkward way, Lord, but help us to understand this better and help it to be more reality in our life, that you came for us, you died for us, and that you, Lord, are coming back for us, first in the sky, and then you're coming back with us. So Lord, help us to realize that this is just a short life, and only that's what's done for Christ to last. So deal first of all, Lord, if there's any here that are unsaved, that they can't say, well, I know I'm going to be riding a horse that day. I know I'm going to be coming with Christ. I know you want them to know, Lord. And God, help them to get this settled from your word, that they can know that they have a home in heaven. Help out each one of us that are saved, realizing that it's a short life, that one of these days you're coming back, Lord, and we want to be close to you. We don't want to be ashamed at your coming in the air. Just touch each heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Is everybody going to be up there and coming down out of the sky? Are you going to be with me? I don't deserve to be there, but I know I'm going to be there because